Moncrief on News Talk.
A recent study commissioned by the policing authority reports that Brazilians and people of African descent have a less than comfortable relationship with the Gardaí. They claim racial profiling and discrimination. Dr. Eben Joseph is CEO of the Institute of Anti-Racism and Black Studies. Eben, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
When you read this report, did it seem very familiar to you?
Well, it was familiar. You know, I mean, I wish I was surprised. I wish I was shocked. Then that would have been, you know, it was familiar. Everything that was in there was actually things that we've heard, we've seen, you know, a lot of murders, you know, talk about, you know, the institutions that their children face, you know, young people. So it was not, there was nothing that was surprising, you know, in the report. And I was really happy to see it because it was long overdue. We needed something formal, you know, to show that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when they say racial profiling, as far as you know, the people you've talked to, how does that manifest itself? How does it work?
So racial profiling would be like, maybe there are like four people going into a club, you know, and there are four lads going into walking on the street. And then the guards go and pick the one black person among four people. Do you see? So it's like, so why was I the suspect? Do you know? But there are four lads. Why didn't you stop all four people? Why did you allow all the three go and then pick the black person to question, you know, check, you know, search their pockets, you know, do you understand? So that's kind of, so when you look at them, like, this person looks suspicious. He might not have a residency, you know. So all of those things, that means that the question we ask is that, Why, what is my calling card of difference? You know, so it's like if I'm going to the airport, now one of the ones I experience a lot would be, say I'm traveling at the airport, you know, and everybody's going down the EU queue. Then somebody says, oh, non-EU that way. I'm like, what is my calling card of difference? What makes you think I'm non-EU? Do you understand? I mean, obviously I can read. So this is EU, non-EU. So if I'm going that way, then I should have the right to go that way. So when somebody is then trying to make you go the other way for non-EU, that means that they've read something and that's your skin color. So when they use your skin color, your name, or your accent to determine what level you should be or how you should be treated, then that is, you have been racially profiled based on your race.
Yeah, and is accent a very big factor in this?
It is. It is a major factor. I mean, one of the ones, and it didn't come out in the report, but I mentioned it in my article. And one of the ones that, you know, people talk about is that, you know, like, and this is a young lad actually reporting what happens to them. They say that, you know, like when they can actually speak and sound like they've lived in Ireland, you know, our young lads speak with an Irish accent as well. You know, when they can actually speak, you know, and sound Irish, you know, the treatment they get is slightly better, you know. But when the boys are like, they sound like, you know, they are, you know, they still have a strong African accent, they get really more grueling. You know, they want to check everything, your papers, you know, so they go into other dimensions that should not come into it.
Yeah. Now, and does this also apply when people call, black or brown people call the Gardaí for help because the crime is being committed against them?
The time it takes to respond, you know, all of that, it changes. And this is something that, you know, from personal experiences, from people's experiences that have been reported, you know, when they called, and the return time, the time it takes for the guards to respond, you know, is absolute. I mean, like, it's much longer, you know. So the people feel, you know, they have that huge report, you know, that when you're calling, so you don't, we don't feel so. The guards are there to help us, and we know that, and we trust the guards to help us. We have to, because that is a system that has been put in place to support. But if people are then afraid of the system to approach that, you know, they won't get equal treatment from the system that has been put there to help them, then it's a problem. The report actually says that only 19% of the people interviewed said that they would trust the guards to actually help them. 19. That's a really ridiculous.
That's abysmally lower, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know?
Do you think it's a systemic problem within the Gardaí? Is it the, you know, few bad apples type scenario, or more widespread than that?
I think it's just systemic, you know? It's just systemic. Like, for example, like our black boys, they are racially profiled, you know, like for things that, you know, they are 18, 19, 20, you know, things that for other white children, they will say, oh, that somebody is targeting them, you know, that they're being targeted. But for our kids, they're actually seen as criminals.
Mm.
You know, so they are criminalized for things that others will get, a slap on the wrist for. They are criminalized for those things. You know, so it's you know, there's this thing where, you know, like particularly black boys, you know, some of them are big and tall. They are seen to be older than their age. You know, there's this thing where they are not treated as children.
Mm.
You know, they are actually, you know, seen as, you know, more like a threat.
Yeah.
So you know, in we see it, you know, where they are seen more as a threat rather than the young people that they are. You know, yeah.
Yeah. So to reform that, then, that's a major overhaul of the guards, but it required, do you think?
I think that sometimes even just information, just even training, you know, even just re-educating our system. And I know, you know, the trolls will pick up on me again whenever I talk about re-educating. Like, who is she to think, you know, wants to come and re-educate us in Ireland? So I know the trolls are going to pick up on that again. But, you know, if education was bad, we wouldn't be in schools. So we all have to go to education. Why? Because we don't know those things naturally. You know, we have to learn. And it's the same thing with, you know, unlearning some things, you know. So when we go through systems that actually shows that, you know, these people might be tall, but they are actually young. They might look this way, but they are actually young. And they should be treated, they have the same emotional and psychological age of an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old. So no matter whether they look like men, they are kids, you know, and should be given the same level of, you know, treatment that they would treat another person, you know, based on skin color. So yes, so education, training, you know, awareness raising among the guards is one thing. But we should also put, you know, laws in place that, you know, like I was asking Shane, I was like, you know, have there been any guards, you know, that have been, you know, pulled up, you know, to say, you know, for wrongful behavior? I don't know. I mean, in America, you know, they've been trying to do that. You know, you can see a lot of that coming up now. Either because of body cams, you can see that. But I say, I don't think I've ever seen, you know, that a guard was found guilty of this, you know, all of that, you know. So, you know, those laws, the laws actually says that even if it happens, it's not public, it's not put publicly.
Well, you know? I mean, I think the report also said that a majority of people said they would have no faith in that process anyway.
No, they wouldn't go, you know, because you'd be afraid that, like, if you did that, then your whole family is going to be racially profiled, you know. So all of that fear. And it for me, I think it's sad.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any other recourse. The guards are the only recourse we have when we feel in danger. Like right now, you know, with the anti-race, with the riots and all of those things happening all over the place, a lot of people from minoritized backgrounds actually feel so unsafe, you know. And so if the system that the state has put there to help us feel safe, we don't even feel safe enough to go there, then that's like a double jeopardy. That's like a double whammy for so many families. You know, if you read that report, even places where even women experiencing domestic violence, some of them didn't feel safe enough to call the guards. Some of the reports saw that, you know, it had improved. But some of them felt that, you know, even when they called the guards, they were even, like, you know, made to feel guilty, you know, in that, you know, the kind of questioning. Also, instead of you being the one calling the guards to protect you, you know, you feel that, you know, you're being questioned in a way that, you know, you're almost like a guilty party as well.
Yeah. Eben, thanks very much for coming in to speak with
Can
us
I
today.
Can I just say one last
yes,
thing I just
sure,
want to
yeah.
quickly say is that one thing that our community experiences the most is that when somebody does something wrong within the black community or traveler community, people have to realize that it's not, you cannot put that blame on all of us. I get tagged as if I'm the one who committed it. Mm. You know, my white colleagues don't get tagged when a white person does something. So a crime committed by a minoritized group should not be seen as something committed by the whole group. And that's a major challenge that we keep having. It is put on the whole community and it endangers the whole community. So people should just be aware of that it causes a lot of psychological problems.
Eben, thanks very much for coming in to us. That was Dr. Eben Joseph there, CEO of the Institute of Anti-Racism and Black Studies.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.